This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9.
Will the circle be unbroken by and by? By and by is a better home awaiting in the sky.
You're on Critical Hit here on Joy 94.9. That was Will the Circle Be Unbroken. We played it with the whole chorus at the start of the show, but that was the cover from Elizabeth from Bioshock Infinite. So I thought that was a very fitting way to enter into our topic today, which is about religion in video games. So, Tal, I'm going to throw to you, because we both put down the same thing that we wanted to talk about first today, which was about Bioshock Infinite. So if you want to take us through, without spoiling it completely for those who haven't played it, a bit about Bioshock Infinite and religion and why it's relevant to this topic.
Well, Bioshock Infinite, I think for those that have played, let's say, the original Bioshock, it's a lot about this sort of extreme libertarian utopia under the sea where they do a genetic experiment, where suddenly Infinite takes it to a very different world where it was like 1912 and it's like this steampunk city in the sky, which we then realize has been taken over by this prophet, and it's a very religious and very, very American, very American kinds of baptism.
Yep.
And it's quite, you know, there's a religion built around the founding fathers of America, and it's quite lots of prairie dresses as well, actually. It has these sort of interesting religious themes as a result of it. And the news piece that we both found was the one of that you actually, when you enter, have to be baptized on the way. And that's not the only baptism in the game, but
You don't have a choice, though. You have to get a baptism to head further into the game. And there was a guy, Brian Malmberg, which doesn't sound like a real name, but let's say that it is. He was a Christian, and he basically refused to accept digital baptism, and therefore demanded a refund because, you know, to take a baptism, in his mind, he said, as baptism is of the Holy Spirit, is at the center of Christianity, of which I'm a devout believer, I'm basically being forced to make a choice between committing extreme blasphemy by my actions in choosing to accept this choice, or forced to quit playing the game before it even really starts. Of course, I cannot hold true to my beliefs and also commit this act, so I'm therefore forced to not play the game.
That's an interesting stance. Does he feel the same way with watching any movies that involve the characters being baptized?
Well, that raises the question then as well, is, you know, watching a movie, you're watching somebody else do it.
It's passive.
I know. I understand that it's interactive and it's an interactive medium, but you're still playing a character, and it's not especially in Bioshock Infinite, it's not an avatar of yourself. You didn't create that character. You are pushing the protagonist along.
But you can understand, especially being in the first person.
I can understand.
The idea of watching, from that point of view, someone have a hand and do the baptism and all that sort of stuff and go in the water, that could definitely create that conflict where it's like, whoa, I'm not comfortable with this. Just like some people aren't comfortable with certain levels of violence in certain games for different reasons, you know? So
yeah, no, I completely agree with his actions. Like, he should get a refund. Why not?
Well, I think they did. He got one.
Yeah, they were fine with it. They were like, yeah, understood. We'll pay you the, you know, refund. No big deal. But, you know, it does raise the question about, you know, religion in video games. Like, to be honest with you, when I did that scene in Bioshock Infinite, I didn't think anything of it. I'm happily agnostic. I'm not Christian. You know, that's not my belief system. However, you know, it didn't raise any red flags with me either. I didn't play that scene and go, ooh, baptism, but that's very Christian, and I'm not Christian, so this bothers me. I just went, well, you know, it's in the game, and I guess this is a Christian-style belief system, so I'll just go along with it to enjoy the narrative as it is. So, Tal, I mean, do you feel like, you know, obviously he was right to complain about and stuff like that, but do video games, maybe it's almost too far to include religion in those sorts of ways where you don't have a choice?
I think it's fine. I think ultimately it's fine. Some, you know, there was one guy that wasn't comfortable with it. He's allowed to not be comfortable with it.
Yeah.
But I think it's great that we have things that engage with stuff. I mean, maybe it's best that he stopped when he did, because it certainly doesn't get any more. It gets a lot more uncomfortable for maybe someone who's sensitive than that. That's for sure. But yeah, and I think that's fine. I'd like to see that video games are grappling with things that are a little bit real, maybe a little bit uncomfortable, even if it is, you know, a steampunk city in the sky where you're shooting crows out of your arms. But oh my god,
it could happen.
I definitely agree. Video games, for the most part, are about these days especially, experiencing something that you wouldn't typically, and putting yourself in someone else's shoes and walking through with those experiences. I didn't really think much of it originally as well, the baptism as you pass through it. I found it interesting that it was forced upon the player, but that's a common theme in Bioshock, of the developers making a commentary on exactly how much choice a player is actually given throughout a game and how much it's a faux choice as they're going through.
Well,
which
Bioshock,
is a huge theme of the first
Bioshock Infinite, made a point of being like, you know, it gave you choices in the game, kind of setting it up like those morality type mechanics, and they have no impact, almost no impact,
like the necklace
whatsoever. There's a necklace that you think about, or there's, you know, you can either throw the baseball at the couple or you cannot, and
you can also throw it at
either
Fink.
Way you don't. You know, you
get stopped.
No matter what, you don't actually throw it. And so it made no difference, basically.
Yeah, that's the theme, though. It's great. Oh, God, such a good game.
It is a great game. We could spend the whole hour talking about Bioshock Infinite, but we won't. Another one that comes up a lot when you think about religion in games also is Assassin's Creed. Now, Meg, that's one of your favorite franchises.
Yep.
We all know that. There's a conversation in Assassin's Creed 3, particularly, that I thought we'd do a bit of a role play and we can act out. So, Meigs, you're going to be Desmond Miles, who's the main character in the game that you play as.
Mm-hmm.
And Archie, you're going to be a generically named scientist.
Scientist Diggles.
Okay, Scientist Diggles it is. All right, so do the conversation. This is taken directly from the game, quote for quote.
Anyone can write a book and put whatever they want in it. Oh, sorry, there's more.
Read the thing,
I'm sorry.
So
anyone
into
can
it.
Write a book and they can put whatever they want in its pages. Anything. It used to be that we thought the world was flat.
Some people still do.
Yes, and they published books on it. And the moon landing was a hoax. I believe that there's also a hoax that claims that the world was created in 7 days. A bestseller, too.
Where's this going, Doc?
The point, I suppose, is that you probably shouldn't trust everything you hear or everything you read.
So now, I mean, that's, you know, that in itself, that conversation, there's a lot more in the games than just that conversation anyway. But, I mean, that's a pretty clear, it's not necessarily saying that the Bible isn't real.
Yes, it is.
But, well, it's implying it. It's definitely implying that, you know, there's a book that claims this, and it's a bestseller, and you shouldn't trust everything that you read. So it's not saying it's wrong, but definitely implies that it's not accurate.
Well, yeah, I thought the amazing thing about Assassin's Creed, it would kind of open with this, like, this has been produced by people of all different faith backgrounds. And do you remember there used to be a
they
bit
always
of a,
do that.
They still do it?
Yeah. I had enough at some point. I enjoy the series, but, you know, they have that. But at the same time, basically, the big kind of takeaway is that all religion, amongst a lot of also political movements, are all done by an Illuminati-style evil organization that's controlling people's minds, and that's why people are religious. And they kind of, like, especially when you do a lot of the extra stuff, they kind of imply that even people like Gandhi, like, they even go beyond religious people, are all kind of using the different items that are in the game to control people.
I kind of like that, though, because it's all about, like, especially this little conversation, it's very make up your own mind.
Yeah.
Like, we, as a game, I'm giving you all this information. I'm giving you these characters that say one thing. I'm giving you these other characters that say something completely different. And it's all so make up your own mind. Like, it's, yes, you are playing as one of the assassins. You're not playing as one of the Templars. But those borders and those lines kind of cross and merge, and you're like, I don't know where I'm walking anymore, and am I okay with this?
Except in one of the Assassin's Creed games where you have to assassinate the Pope.
Ah, well.
So, I mean, I know, I hear
but
what you're saying.
An evil plant.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, and I agree, and you're right, with the Assassin's Creed games, which I've played as well. But, I mean, at the same time, you know, even though the Pope might be, you know, dodgy in the game or doing the wrong thing or, you know, corrupted, whatever it might be, but it's a pretty heavy idea to say, let's have the main character, the player, kill a Pope, like the Pope.
And like, it's totally like what we were saying before about how it's you're playing a character, you're not playing yourself, so you can kind of distance yourself from that and you can kind of go, all right, cool, that's part of the narrative that they're telling me, not so much as the narrative that I'm making for myself.
Yeah.
I understand why some people find that uncomfortable and they can't differentiate, and that's totally, that's fine.
I agree with you, Meigs. I think it's great that they're presenting, I think they do present a lot of different views. It may be a little stingy towards traditional religions, but at the same time, the atheist view that's being presented here in the discussion we read out, it's being presented solely by an unnamed NPC.
Yes.
And nothing more. Well, it's still the game saying it, but the NPC isn't even a named character. And in addition to that, the game also takes the piss on itself a bit. So Abstergo, the main villainous organization that Tal mentioned earlier, is pretty much Ubisoft. Which is hilarious, but and I love that.
I think what's missing a bit from these, I mean, I like I said, I really enjoyed it and I loved it. I mean, in the first one, running around Jerusalem, I was like, oh my God, this is so cool that a game actually did this. But at the same time, I always thought, well, slightly missing when it came to, it doesn't really grapple. I feel like it doesn't really grapple with religious issues. Like it wants to talk about religion, but it's nearly like in a very science fiction. It may as well be science fiction, not really historical.
Yeah, it totally does it. It kind of like points to the point that it's trying to make. It's like, my point is over there. Look, you can see it, but I'm not going to just give it to you.
The best example is that while it talks about religion all the time, there's actually like no one in it that is religious. There are people who are leaders of religion who don't really believe it because they're manipulating people. But there's no one here that actually believes in God. Like, not one character, I don't think, throughout the whole series is honestly someone that says, I believe.
You're on Critical Hit here on Joy 94.9, talking about religion in video games and the impact it has on people and whether it should be there or not. Now, I want to talk about another one, guys, that we're actually giving away 3 copies of the Founders Pack for this game for Xbox One at the moment, so it's very timely. Talking about Smite. Now, Smite is an MOBA, a massively online battle arena, that basically is a battle of the gods. So you're playing as different gods from different religions and fighting each other to the death.
I think religion is kind of a not entirely accurate in this setting. I think playing as these gods is kind of delving into mythology more than religion at this point in time.
Correct. However, someone, the president of the Universal Society of Hinduism, actually requested the removal of certain characters from the game because having the deities controlled by players, he felt, trivializes them. So they weren't removed in the end, the characters from the Hindu faith, because they're very diverse and create a great inspiration for several characters. And more deities will continue to come out. So I do hear what you're saying in the sense that it's not like it's a religion, it's more about the gods and stuff. However, it does all link in, and I mean, obviously, it's ruffled feathers enough to be in the media and make people stop and go, well, hang on a second, this could potentially offend people of that faith if they're seeing someone they believe to have existed, you know, doing these things and fighting other gods, you know, and, you know, it's interesting.
Are they actually representative of those gods, or are they drawn from...
They're representative of those gods.
They're named for them and designed for them.
Yes. You get like Thor.
That's a bit questionable.
Yeah, it's legitimately like that's the gods, you know what I mean? And there's not many Abrahamic figures in the game because the reason being that they don't have awesome abilities.
Yeah,
that's what he said.
Fair enough.
Yeah, but you know, you could have done
Jesus could heal you.
You could do a Moses who had a whole lot of basically plagues. But I think but the whole point was if you actually had that, you'd suddenly be like, this is kind of weird. I feel like it suddenly when it's something where suddenly people here can suddenly relate to, kind of, just because they're at least more in, have heard of it a bit more and a little slightly more intimately aware of it, I think people would suddenly be like, that'd be kind of weird.
In terms of pop culture, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe,
if you had a Moses character shooting locusts at people and like creating a darkness as like a smoke screen as a game, would be like, this is...
That's amazing.
You should really...
I think it'd be hilarious.
You should really submit these ideas.
It would also be, I think, It's pretty schlocky.
But I mean, yeah, that's us talking, you know, and we're here in Australia. We see pop culture and television and movies that's very much geared towards Christian or Catholic, you know, and that's kind of the major viewpoint, especially American television and American reality shows. It's all about Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, which is fine. But I mean, Hinduism is quite a large religion as well, and it's, you know, a lot of people. Well, you know. It's big, you know. It's a big thing.
And it's very big.
That's what I'm saying. And like, you know, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I mean, there's a lot of people that if that's what they grow up with and that's what they're used to talking about and what they think about and what they believe, then maybe having these characters in a game in this context is a bad thing for them. You know what I mean?
I'm actually on their side in this, in terms of that I think it's really different when, like, if we went around to people that made it and also people that, like, maybe play it and just ask them basic questions about Hinduism, like, they just wouldn't know. Like, I feel like it's a case of, like, we feel all right when it's one we're completely ignorant about, you know, except then it's kind of okay to make, like, a God-fighting game about it. Not that I'm like, oh, it's, you can't represent things, that's fine, but there's a sense of sensitivity and knowledge, and if it wasn't about religions and if instead it was about, like, well, if we're making fighting games of other cultures,
it's straight up easily get
like, yeah, we would get like, oh, this is weird and kind of offensive and totally ignorant. But when it's God, suddenly it's, I don't know.
It's difficult to compare because we don't really do any games based on fighting Abrahamic characters, because as you mentioned before, they're just not as badass.
Boring.
But your ideas, that would sound awesome, but I have a bit of cognitive dissonance there. I agree. I don't think it's a major religion and a major practicing one currently, and you should be. Yeah.
And again, you know, this was one person. I mean, he represented a universal side of Hinduism, but I mean, it's one person who's got an in charge kind of role, presenting his view. And it's definitely not the view of every single person who practices Hinduism. But I mean, it definitely came up in the media a lot. And you know, ultimately, they're still in the game. It wasn't like they removed it or anything, because I think the reasons were okay. And they said, look, you know, Not get over it per se, but they were like, we think they have a great representation in the game because they're such iconic characters, and we want to kind of pay homage to that and have them in the game for that reason. You know, we're not making them negative, we're making them kind of cool.
Yeah, we're not doing it to take the piss or to make fun of. We are using them because we think they're awesome.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a very different spin
on
it as well.
Does the development team have representatives from a broad range of cultural faiths and
that
religions?
I don't know. I'll just call them and ask, shall I?
The one that strikes me is a big difference of what I think is a shame is that a lot of the time when religion is incorporated, it may as well be, it's used almost interchangeably with fantasy. Like, it may as well be fantasy. Like, you've happened to base it on these things. Like, even when it's like angels coming around, they may as well be ghosts. They may as well be demons. Like, it doesn't make a difference. And what what we get a little less is some of the story games might have, you know, a single character that might have one conversation about, like, I believe in God. And during this time with zombies around, is that weird? I don't know. Like, we get little touches of it, but in reality, a lot of people are religious and a lot of people would turn to religion in those situations.
Yeah.
So we like to talk about religion in a very fantasy type way in games, but then we don't, like, I feel
we
like
don't represent
the one
other
we're
side.
Missing is the human element of of religion, which is really the whole thing.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, I was talking before about, you know, things like Resident Evil and how they have like these religious cults that literally turn people into monsters and so they can do their bidding for them and you have to fight them and blow their heads off and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it's not a specific religion that already exists. It's usually a made-up new religion. But, you know, that sort of thing raises the question is, you know, is religion in games kind of usually perceived as a negative kind of thing, you know, where religion is the enemy, religion is the bad guy. I'm fighting religion because they're all in this crazy cult and the leader is insane, so that makes religion the bad guy. And, you know, is that healthy in terms of young people playing video games, you know, trying to, in a way, pitching religion as this sort of negative thing?
I mean, people are going to pitch it the way they are, and, well, it's probably a choice of it's easier to be like, we're going to fight. It's easier to make your character not explicitly atheist or thing and just them to, well, this religion that they're fighting is evil and we're not going to make comments about other religions. That's easier than do it the other way around of having characters that are explicitly religious and then having them fight There's something about that which is actually even weirder.
Creating the conflict based on religion.
And also, let's be fair, they sort of know their audience, and the majority, probably a larger majority of gamers would be tend to be more secular. It would strike me purely because they're slightly younger, if nothing else. But I think I'd just like to see a little bit more just grappling. So the example I used, I've recently been playing Valkyria Chronicles, which is a fantasy version of World War II. And one of the things that I really liked about it is that even though it's this World War II metaphor, while a lot of video games will talk about World War II and kind of pretend the Holocaust doesn't exist, this one said, well, we're also part of this fantasy World War II version. We're going to also have one group called the Dachshunds, that's their example, and the Dachshunds exist all over Europa, not Europe, of course, because it's fantasy.
Subtle.
It's subtle. And the Dachshunds are basically Jews. That's the way they are. They fight, and so some of them are in your unit, and then as a result, you have people, even though you guys are apparently the good guys, you have people that don't want to fight along Dachshunds, and you actually go to what is basically a work camp, and liberate some people there at some point. But, of course, a lot more of them die. And it was nice to see actually starting to talk about what was basically Christian anti-Semitism in a game where I was like, it's simple, but it's but a grappling with some real...
They're actually confronting it. They're not just acting like it didn't happen. They're like, well, hey, this happened, and it's... You know, as real as it was for people and as horrible as it was as well, it happened, and it's got stories to it, and it's got depth to it, so it should be represented.
And it's not enough just to say, oh, well, the evil guys, they are, like, again, they're bigoted, but no one on the good side is. Well, they are, and many people were. And
that's excellent. I like that. I thought that was fantastic. Diverse view.
Yeah, it was something that... I'm surprised. I mean, it was interesting that it was like a Japanese game that makes a sort of World War II type metaphor. Yeah. I thought that was
a
interesting.
World War II Alliance side. Yeah.
And of course, it actually ends up actually putting in quite an interesting anti-nuclear themes as well, because there's an ancient race.
That's out of nowhere.
There's like an ancient race that, like, of course, can blow themselves up, and they blow themselves up in a way that's exactly like nuclear bombs. And so then there's debates about whether or not they should be using the Valkyra as part of weapons of war. But it was nice.
Lots
to
going
see
on in that game.
Mature
themes and ideas. Discussions. Yeah, for sure.
It was sounding good, but then it got very Japanese.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
And then there's a Dragon Ball there, and it all just gets kind of weird.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.